Morning. I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. And I bring greetings on behalf of my pastor, Pastor Al, and Sister Georgina there in San Diego. And God is doing some great things there in our church. God is on the move there in San Diego. So they send their love to each and every one of you. And I really want us to stand for the reading of the word so that we can reverence the word this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is the last service of the year. And you just being here means that you take your relationship with God serious. How many take their relationship with God serious this morning? By you just being in this place, it really means a lot. Being here on the last Sunday, it means that you are already setting your priorities in order. And in 2 Timothy, right here in chapter 4, verse 6, it reads like this. This is Paul writing to Timothy. It says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Let us pray this morning. Father, I come before you this morning. God, your word is already anointed. It's already blessed. But I pray, God, that you will anoint my life, God, and anoint the hearers this morning, God, so that your word can effectively be ministered in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, this morning I want to talk about, you know, not just finishing strong or not just completing this race, but I really feel that God has put a message on my heart for each and every one of you on not just finishing, but finishing on purpose. Finishing on purpose. You know, if there's any man in the Word of God, if there's any, you know, person in the Word that you and I can look to, that's a man that finished his race, that finished his course, it's Paul the Apostle. And this, you know, this man, I mean, Paul, you know, he's a man that we can learn from. We can truly, learn a lot from his life. We can truly learn a lot from his ministry. You know, he's a man that I believe can encourage each and every one of us. And here what he's doing is he's writing his last moments, his last words with his son Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, you know, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. I didn't fight not just a tough fight, you know, not just a challenging fight, but I fought a good fight. And how many know we're in a good fight this morning? I know sometimes it may get hard, sometimes it may get challenging, sometimes circumstances and situations come up, but my friend, I'm here to let you know that this is a good fight. That this is a fight that's worth fighting for. And he says, I have fought the good fight, but not only that, but I have finished the race. In 1968, there was a man by the name of John Steffen that was sent to represent Tanzania in the marathon at the Summer Olympics in Mexico. While competing, due to the high altitude, he began to cramp up and he fell. And he really hurt himself, but as he was getting back up, he finished the race. But he was the last person to finish the race, and there was a small crowd that was there left to really cheer him on because he was the only person that was there representing his country. As he finally crossed the finish line, you know, they interviewed him, and they said, why did you decide to finish this race? And he said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race. And how many know that, you know, it doesn't matter how we started this year, but what matters is how we're going to finish. What matters is how we're going to finish, that we're not just going to finish strong, that we're not just going to finish fighting this good fight, but we're going to finish on purpose, because you and I are here on purpose for a purpose. I thank God for this ministry, because it was in this ministry where I was raised up. You know, one thing my pastor always says is God saved me, but Victory Outreach raised me. And that's why God designed the church. God designed the church so that you and I can grow. God designed the church so that you and I can build each other up. God designed the church so that you and I can help each other become all that God has called us to be. That's why church life is important. That's why, you know, not just coming on a Sunday or coming on a Wednesday is important, but the fellowship that takes place during the week, how many know it's important? And this is one thing that Paul was really stressing. He says, you know, Timothy, just don't start, but be a finisher. And just don't finish, but finish with your purpose. In Romans, in the very first chapter, Paul begins to really describe what his purpose was. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul begins to say that he was a servant of Christ. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ. See, that's our position as a believer. That's our position as a believer, that we are all servants of Christ. Even Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. How many can say amen? But then he also says, called to be an apostle. He says, I am a servant, and that was his standing as a believer. But he also says, called to be an apostle. What he was doing was he was illustrating what his ministry was. He was explaining what his ministry was, that his ministry was to be an apostle. But then he goes on by saying, set apart for the gospel of God. And that was his purpose. He begins to say, I'm not just a servant. I'm not just gifted to be an apostle, but my purpose every single morning, my purpose every single day, the thing that keeps me up at night, the thing that keeps me up early in the morning seeking God's face is to be the type of person that spreads the gospel. He began to recognize his purpose. And how many know Paul did a very good job at it? He began to establish churches, and he began to build up churches. It is because of Paul's ministry that you and I are here today. Because he began to spread the gospel beyond the four walls of Jerusalem, and he began to spread the gospel to a Gentile nation, a non-believing nation, a nation that was supposedly an outcast. And it is because Paul's ministry that he was able to reach many people. See, by career, Paul was a tent maker. Paul, you know, that's how he made his living. By his career, he was a tent maker. And back then, for you to be a tent maker, it meant that you had a very good trade. You know, and I'm not talking about just pitching a tent, like going camping. I'm talking about they would build these very, you know, very nice, you know, strong, big tents where not just one or two or three people, but many people can dwell in. And Paul, by having this trade, what he was able to do is he was able to actually use his trade to go into a lot of the port cities that he established the gospel. You know, some of these cities, they wouldn't accept him, so he would say, well, I'm a tent maker. I'm just here to do business. And that was his way in. But one thing that he doesn't mention in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, when he describes his purpose, and I want you to catch this morning, is he doesn't begin to describe and say, you know, that his purpose was to be a tent maker. He begins to say, my purpose is to spread the gospel. See, I'm here to let you know this morning that our purpose is never found in our position or in our provision. Because our position in life will always change. People will go from being unemployed to employed. They'll go from being employed to maybe a management position or maybe a self-employed position, maybe even a CEO. Positions always change, just like seasons always change. So our purpose is not found in our position. Because then that would mean that our purpose always will change. So our purpose is not found in our position, neither is our purpose found in our provision. Because your career is what you're paid for, but your calling is what you're made for. I believe there's some people in this place that say, you know what? I want to pursue the purpose of God on my life because I don't get satisfied every time I clock in. I don't get satisfied every time I receive a paycheck. It's not bad to have a job, you know, but it's important to make sure that you're pursuing the purpose of God within your life because everything else will become a joy. That job will become a joy. Working with your family will become a joy. That Bible study will become a joy. That ministry that God is calling you to, you know, to build up within this church will become a joy. Why? Because you're pursuing the purpose of God within your life. God has us here on purpose for a purpose. See, when you are pursuing your career, you will be successful. But when you are pursuing your calling, you will be significant. Significant is helping others become successful. See, God is calling you and I to pursue the purpose and the calling that He has within our life. Within our ministry, you know, we have a big family. We have a great vision. God has called us to reach the inner cities of the world. God wants to use each and every one of our lives to continue to not just build here locally, but as we're doing our job locally, you know, we're able to build internationally and we're able to reach more cities and more countries for the honor and the glory of God. And what begins to happen is God begins to use each and every individual's life. You all matter. Within this ministry. There is no purpose greater or there's no purpose smaller. We all have a great purpose within our life. So how do we find that purpose this morning? And that's the message. The first way that we find that purpose, it's in our knowing. Is when we begin to get to know God. When we begin to draw near to God. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, 32, but the people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. What does that word know mean? That word to know in the Hebrew means yada. It's an intimate word. It's the same word used when the Bible says in Genesis that Adam knew Eve and they conceived. It's an intimate word that when you and I get to know our Father, when you and I get to know God, it's a time of intimacy. When we are fully known. See, the world, you know, has corrupted a lot of those things. And the enemy knows how to use shame and the enemy knows how to use guilt, you know, to hinder our relationship with God. But I'm here to let you know that the first time that Jesus introduced God to you and I was when he said, Abba, Father. He said, when you pray to God, pray to him as your Father. That's the very first time that Jesus introduced God as Father. Because why? The type of father that you and I serve is a competent father. The type of father that you and I serve is a compassionate father. The type of father that you and I serve, my friend, the type of father that you and I seek, my friend, he's a father that has a great capacity. Nothing's impossible for him. And we can be fully known to our Father. I remember when me and my wife were first dating. And my wife's not here this morning. She's actually at Victor Arch Seattle. Her aunt and her uncle are the pastors there, Pastor John and Sister Kathy. So she's there spending time with them. And I remember when me and her were first dating. About 7 years ago, we were first dating. And what was happening was I was actually in another country, like Pastor Eric was sharing. I was a part of the UTCs. I was helping with the UTCs. So at the time, I was overseeing the team there in Mexico. And that was during the time when we were dating. So during that time, the only form of communication was the Nextels, the walkie-talkies. You guys remember those? You would hear the beep-beep, and I mean, somebody was calling you, or they would send you an alert, and that would say, you know, pick up your phone, right? Back then, they didn't have, you know, there wasn't even texting. You know, and at the time, on the particular Nextel that I had, when I was there, I was able to receive calls from the States. So I told my wife, I go, you know, whenever you get a chance, just give me a call. If it's after work or if it's, you know, after Bible study with Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, you know, feel free to call me and let me know how, you know, how the Bible study was and what you learned. And sure enough, she would call me. She would call me and we would talk. You know, we were getting to know each other. All we had was communication. You know, we didn't have the opportunity to just say, hey, let's go on a date or let's fellowship with some other couples and let's get to know one another. All we had was communication. And I remember when the bill came. I mean, I thought it was free. I thought because I was able to receive calls, it was free. There was no charge. Praise the Lord. I was trying to work the system. Come on, somebody. And sure enough, the bill came. And it was over $900. My goodness. But my friend, it came at a good cost. And she was well worth it. See, it costs to have a relationship with God. When was the last time that you prayed just to get to know God? Not asking for anything, not petitioning anything, but just wanting to get to know your Father. The Bible says that those that know me will be strong and do great exploits. Isn't that beautiful? But it comes at a cost, my friend. Even when we study the word, how many know we should study the word just to get to know God? You know, there was a book that came out when me and Pastor Eric were students. It was called The Making of a Leader. And it was a powerful book. It was a good book. Some of you know about that book. And it gives you a lot of biblical principles on leadership. But the man that wrote it when he was very young. And what he would do when he was in seminary, he would do a lot of Bible character studies. And all he would do was these Bible character studies. He was a young man. But his professor began to take notice. These are some really good character studies. And he began to ask the man, Frank DeMasi, he began to ask him, can I share these studies when I go out? He goes, you know, by all means. Not one part in that book is about his ministry experience. It's all about the Bible characters that he personally did a devotion on. See, what he was doing is he was just getting to know God. Little did he know that God had a purpose. Little did he know that God was going to use him to pastor a great church. Little did he know that that book was going to help so many leaders within the body of Christ. All he was doing was getting to know God, and the byproduct was lives are getting impacted and lives were getting changed. By you just getting to know the Father, by you just getting to know God, by you spending time with Him in fellowship, in your devotion. See, when it comes to fasting, can I talk about fasting a little bit? It's not about the sacrifice, much less about your devotion. Too many people during their fast are too focused on the sacrifice, but it should be about the devotion with the Lord. Because when you're spending time with God, you don't got time to eat. When you're spending time to God, you don't got time to browse on your phone and go on social media. When you're spending time with the Lord and filling your life with preachings and filling your life with worship and spending time in the presence of God, all those things, they become less attractive. So as you get ready for your fast, begin to focus more on the devotion, because all those other things will become less of a delight. How many can say amen? So our purpose is found in our knowing, but number two, our purpose is also found in our growing. When we begin to discover and develop our gifts. See, spiritual gifts explain what we are good at and what we are supposed to do. The primary purpose of why spiritual gifts are given is to build up the church. It's to strengthen the body of Christ. We just celebrated Christmas, and we just, I think one of the greatest joy for a parent is when they see their child open up a gift that they always wanted. I mean, you're like reliving the experience all over again, right? The joy, the excitement, I mean, the jumping up and down, the not caring who's around, all those great things. But imagine if you gave your child that gift and they didn't open it. As a matter of fact, they just kind of left it on the side, unused and untouched for a while. See, that can happen with our spiritual gifts. God wants you and I to discover and to develop our spiritual gifts, because it is in your spiritual gift that you begin to discover what you're good at. It is in your spiritual gift that you begin to discover your strengths. It is in your spiritual gift that you begin to discover the impact that you're able to make within the body of Christ. We can't just go around and about, living if we don't have a heart. We can be very limited if we only had one arm, or if we only had, one leg. We can be very limited. As a matter of fact, what's keeping you and I balanced when we stand is our big toes. And they may seem insignificant, right? They may seem small, but that's what's keeping the balance within our life. See, that tells us that every gift within the body of Christ is vital. Every gift within the body of Christ is important. Every person matters. We need everybody to put their hands to the plow and become all that God's called them to be in order for this church to reach its full potential. And how many are ready for that this year? Come on, how many are ready to become all that God's called you to be? Sky is the limit. Sky is the limit. What does your gift do? Your gift challenges you. Your gift challenge. If you say, I believe God has given me the gift to preach. I believe God has given me the gift to teach. Or maybe you say, God has given me the gift to prophesy or to speak in tongues, or the gift of hospitality, or the gift of leadership, or the gift of interpreting tongues, or the gift of wisdom, or the gift of knowledge. Or maybe some of you say, God has given me, gifts, and the gift of faith or the gift of miracles. God wants you to develop that gift. Not just to discover it, but to use it. Not just to admire it. Oh, I have a gift. I am a prophet. Call me prophet, bishop, apostle. Right? It's not just a name. It's not just a position. But what it is, it's something that God wants us to use. Why? Because your gift, it's not for you. Your gift is really for others. It's to build up the body. It's to make the body stronger. What your gift does, my friend, it takes the focus off you and it puts the focus on the need. Your gift begins to put the focus on the need and helping others, and that becomes very addictive. Because the Bible says, he who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. So as you're ministering to others, as you're touching others' lives, as you're impacting other people, as you're touching families, you yourself are being refreshed. It's a delight. Our purpose is found in our knowing. Our purpose is found in our growing. But my friend, also our purpose is found in our glowing. When we begin to glow for God. Jesus, his first sermon was a Sermon on the Mount, right? And there were so many people there that he began to go to a mountain and begin to teach. I don't know about you, but I didn't have a lot of people in my first sermon that I had to go up on a mountain and teach. Maybe there was four, maybe five. I don't remember. But so many people were there. And it was real, you know, the reason why was because at that time, the rabbis would teach their yoke, which was their interpretation of the law. And a lot of them would make it hard to follow God. Because during that time, there was a book called the Torah, which was the five books, the law, right? But then a book that was even bigger than that was the book of traditions. It was a book of rules. That's why the Pharisees were all caught up in the rules. That's why the rabbis during that time were more focused on the rules and the tradition and Jesus breaking all the rules and breaking all the traditions. That's why Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the scriptures. I came to fulfill the scriptures. Set your traditions aside because I am the living word of God. You search for the scriptures, you know, for the Messiah, but really the scriptures testify about me, the Savior. So his interpretation of the law, he begins to say, take my yoke and learn from it. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No wonder he had so many people at his first sermon. He didn't make it hard to follow God. He said, it's very easy. So he has all these people. He has this crowd. So he begins to illustrate a beautiful sermon. He begins to talk about the Beatitudes. He begins to talk about the blessed life, the happy life. But then he begins to hit a lot of issues with the heart. And he begins to talk about adultery and marriage and anger and divorce. And he begins to talk about also our daily relationship with God. He said when you fast in secret. When you pray, pray in secret. When you give, give in secret. But he said this, and this is very key. He said, but when it comes to doing the good deeds, and when it comes to doing the work of the Father, he said, do it so that all can see, because they will glorify your Father in heaven. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Our purpose is found in our glowing. When we begin to glow for God. I remember one Christmas where, I don't know what happened. I think my brother broke his arm and we ended up at the General Hospital there in Los Angeles. I mean, he was always breaking something. So we were there and I remember they were telling us to sign up. They were saying, sign up. And I think it was Toys for Tots, and they were telling us. At that time, we didn't have a lot of money, so my mom goes, why don't you guys sign up? So we signed up. We didn't think anything of it. We just signed up. And I remember Christmas came around, and I remember receiving those gifts. And they were really nice gifts. I mean, remote control cars and Transformers and, you know, Star Wars figures. I mean, these things, you know, they were very nice. But there was one gift that my brother received, and that was this watch. He got this watch. And one thing about this watch, I mean, this is like, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. So operating systems were real basic back then, right? So what this watch would do for the alarm, it would crow like a rooster. So every morning we would hear this crow, you know. I don't know how to crow very good. But we would just hear it. You could probably imagine it, right? And what happened was, what was special about his watch was it was able to glow. This watch had a feature where it could glow. When you expose it to the light, it would actually glow. And it would look real cool, right? So all day he would leave it out in the sun. And at night, I mean, this thing was glowing. This is all you would see in the room. I mean, it would glow bright. But then if he would not expose it to the light, it wouldn't glow. This is all you would see. Pure blackness. See, when you and I are exposed to the light. When you and I are exposed to the light, our lives begin to glow. Our lives begin to glow. People are able to see your good deeds because you're doing it with a pure heart. Because you just want to serve God. You just want to give God your best. And the Bible says that when people see your good deeds, it will make them want to glorify your Father in heaven. Does your family, when they see your good deeds, make them want to get closer to God? At work, can I go there for a minute? When people see your good deeds, does it make them want to glorify your Father in heaven? When you're out and about in traffic, or during the Christmas rush, I'm sorry, but I have to go there. Does it make them want to glorify your Father in heaven? Yesterday, we were at Chambers Bay, and we were playing a couple holes there. The weather was perfect, so we were playing a couple holes. And right out, not even we're not even on the second hole, and the marshal shows up. And he was a little aggressive when he showed up, right? He was a little excited. You guys can't be with your carts on the green. You got to go around. And I seen your pastor in action. And he goes, 5 minutes, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. But right away, he didn't react. But he responded. He responded with respect. He responded with love. And right away, that man's attitude changed. Right away. He even said, the second hole is right up this way, and you guys can, it's right here. I mean, he just completely changed. You see what happens when you and I don't react, but when we respond? Lives are changed. People are impacted. Our purpose is found in our knowing. Our purpose is found in our growing. But our purpose is also found when we're glowing. See, what happens is people are able to see that when you and I are walking in our purpose, then they are able to be impacted. It's a beautiful thing. Imagine if we were all walking in our purpose. I mean, this church house in the midst of the rain and the weather would be so bright. Because every man and woman in this place is walking in their purpose. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Paul said, I fought the good fight and I finished the race. At this time, I want my brother to come up with for the keyboard. You know, at one time, Paul had an opportunity to really allow his true colors to come out. There was a time when Nero, the worst emperor in Rome, finally caught Paul. He caught him, and Paul became a royal prisoner. And as Paul was a royal prisoner, he was on house arrest. He had a centurion guard chained to him 24 hours a day. And every 6 hours, they would change the guard for 2 years. So Paul is there. He's in prison. Just before that, he was shipwrecked. Just before that, he was bitten by some snakes. Just before that, he lost everything. He had nothing. All his possessions. So here he's on house arrest. Here he's chained to a centurion guard. Here he's probably reciting the scripture that he gave to the Romans by saying, all things work out for the good for those who are called according to the purpose of God. He's probably like, okay, I got to live this out. So this is what's beautiful is when Paul's there and he's chained to a centurion guard, even members of Nero's own family were actually guards there. Paul had this dream. I mean, he told the Romans, I want to preach into the Colosseum and have a great harvest. He had this dream. He told the Romans, I'm expecting a great harvest in Rome. But he didn't go to Rome as a preacher. He went to Rome as a prisoner. Things didn't work out the way he thought they were going to work out. Nevertheless, when he was on house arrest, he was able to write most of the New Testament. But most importantly, over 3,000 guards had an opportunity to give their lives to the Lord because Paul was ministering to each and every one of those guards. He told the Philippians, they know why I'm here. And I'm taking advantage of the opportunity to minister to each and every one of them. And the Bible says that even members of Nero's own family gave their lives to the Lord because Paul knew that he was called according to God's purpose. He did not waver. He was glowing. He was growing. And he knew God. This morning, as you stand with me, at the end of sharing who he was, at the end of sharing what he was about, he said the gospel came from a descendant of David. David's genealogy, each and every person was counted out. Even David. His father Jesse didn't even bring him when the prophet came. The man of God came. He left David out. Every person in David's genealogy, even Jesus, was counted out. Tamar, raped by her half-brother Absalom. Rahab, these are all women in the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab, a prostitute. Ruth, a Moabite, not even Jewish. Bathsheba, an adulterer. Mary, even Mary, was supposed to be sent to capital punishment because she was with child before marriage. But nevertheless, through this descendant, our Savior came. And he came onto this earth. He brought great joy. He brought great peace. He brought great salvation. And he gave each and every one of us a purpose. Isn't that beautiful? You see how purpose is not prejudice? You see how purpose is not bias? You see how purpose doesn't look at our weaknesses? Our purpose looks at the very thing that God has called you and I to do. My friend, 2016, let it be a year where you pursue your purpose with all of your heart. When you get to know God with all of your heart. Oh, when you begin to grow in the things of God and discover and you develop your gift, become all that God has called you to be. You will see how your life is going to glow. My question for you this morning is, do you know your purpose? Do you know the purpose that God is? Can you clearly say, without any doubt, this is my purpose. This is my purpose. My second question for you this morning is, maybe you know your purpose, but have you been walking in your purpose? This morning, you can pick that purpose back up and you can pursue it with all your heart. The third thing this morning is your purpose reflecting you or reflecting the Lord? Is it reflecting the life, the love, and the light of God? I believe that there's a church this morning that wants to become all that God has called you to be. And if this word ministers to you this morning, what I want us to do is I want you to come to this altar and I want us to pray together. From all over this place, I want to invite you to come. If you say, I need to discover my purpose. If you